Thank you, Dylan, for letting us sing all four verses. That's probably one of my favorite songs. Just reminds us we have a home in heaven. Reminds us we're on the winning side. Reminds us that we do have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. No matter how bad it gets in this world or in our country, we know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And keep your eyes upon the eastern sky, because your Lord and Savior and mine as well is going to return one day very soon. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, well, we're going to start reading verses 10 through 20. Obviously, this is the section in Scripture that talks about the armor of God, but we're not going to talk about the entire armor of God. There's three pieces I want to focus on tonight, and we'll read verses 10 through 20. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about the last three pieces of this armor. So, verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the time we can have tonight. Father, we thank you for just the reading of your word, the fact that, Father, we do have a copy of your word, the infallible word of God that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, it's exactly what Jesus Christ used in the wilderness to ward off the devil. The devil left him for a season. The devil is a defeated foe, but there is coming a day when he will be cast into a lake of fire for eternity. But right now, Lord, he's loose for a season. We know during the millennial, he'll be cast into the bottomless pit. And then after 1,000 years, after the millennial reign, he'll be loose for a little season again to deceive the nations. But all of it, Father, within your plan of bringing the final judgment upon the devil, upon the angels that rebelled against you and those that rebel against Jesus Christ and not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But Father, I ask that you would please guide our time tonight. Thank you, Father, for those that are here. Lord, give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and to understand. I pray, Father, that you would just continue to help us to be reminded that we are in a spiritual battle. And Father, and in this spiritual battle, you've given us a weapon. That weapon is prayer, and it's the Word of God. And Father, help us not to neglect prayer, not to neglect the Word of God, but in order not to neglect those two things, we have to keep the faith. So Father, help us to hold up our shields of faith, to continue believing that we are on the winning side, that your truth will prevail, that the judge of all the earth shall do right, and Father, that you will help us each and every day. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about keeping a spiritual mindset. Keeping a spiritual mindset because, again, just as you see things happening in the world and you hear things happening in our country, it's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy to even be tempted to give up. And I want us to be reminded that we are in a spiritual battle. And again, we're told that in the armor of God, we're to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We're reminded we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but yet there's flesh and blood that's used to do wicked things in this world. God is not the author of wickedness. God's not the author of sin. God cannot sin, and God does not tempt man in sinning, Scripture tells us. But tonight I want us to be reminded that God does want us to keep the faith. In verses 16 and 17 and 18, talks about the shield of faith, talks about the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying. And we've got to keep praying and keep believing in the Word of God and keep believing that God is faithful and God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him by faith. Now, yeah, I'm not always going to mention things that happen in the world, but currently, recently, we know that Texas passed a wonderful law that forbids abortion after a heartbeat is detected, in which a heartbeat is usually detected between 6 and 8 weeks. Now, we know that God is the giver of life. Life is in the blood. We know that children are a heritage of the Lord. And to me, it's a great victory, not only for the state of Texas, but for Christians who continue to pray that abortion clinics would be closed, people's hearts would be turned away, because lives are destroyed by abortion, not just the child in the womb, and it is a child in the womb. It's not an embryo. It's not mass. It's not a blob. It's not something that has no feelings. But it's life. Children are heritage of the Lord. Women are scarred by that. Scarred by that non-health procedure. It's not for women's health. When you look in Scripture, and I did not bother to look up the verses for you tonight because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it is just another form of sacrificing children to Baal, to Moloch. When you look in Scripture, there was a god by the name of Moloch. Even the children of Israel got into that wicked worship where they would deliver their children into the fire, sacrificing their children to a god, to the devil. Now, this great victory in Texas is a great victory, but unfortunately, because we are in a spiritual battle, you have wickedness that wants to rage war against righteousness. We have a president who vows he's going to use all of government to try to come down on Texas and to keep them from doing what's right. You have a city in Portland, Oregon, that says that they have banned all their government officials to even travel to Texas. They're not going to do business with Texas. And if that wasn't, big deal, well, what does that matter? Even the satanic temple of Satan has even voiced that they will help any woman in Texas that wants to have an abortion to get around the law. They will supply what's needed to perform the abortion, whether it's the pill, whatever. The devil wants the souls of children. He wants the souls of men and women, but praise the Lord, those babies are in the hands of God. But again, it's a wicked, wicked, wicked thing that people do. A lot of people have been lied to, but I want us to be reminded that it is a spiritual battle. The devil is behind wickedness. Just in the Garden of Eden, beautiful garden, he gets into the mind of Eve, and he gets Eve to believe a lie. And he continues to do that to this day, but we as God's people need to be reminded that we need to keep believing that God, who is the judge of all the earth, shall do right, that he still answers prayer, and we can stand upon the word of God. And that's what I was to be reminded of tonight, that even though we do hear victories like that, and you just see where the world and the country and people want to fight against saving life. I mean, just people, there are just wicked people that are bloodthirsty, leaving thousands of Americans in Afghanistan, wanting abortion to prevail, wanting to silence Christians from the truth, wanting to silence people from the truth of people's lives being destroyed. Yet you and I have to remain faithful in the battle that we are in, whether we want to be in it or not. We're in it because we're children. We're the children of God. And as the children of God, the devil will resist us and fight against us and try to get us not to walk in faith, not to believe that God can and will prevail and that God can turn the hearts of people around. But he wants us not to even pick up that shield of faith anymore and just think, well, it's all in vain because it just seems like evil prevails. Again, when we read Scripture and we stay in the Word of God, we are reminded by what God's Word says that God has the final say. God is the judge. The devil is going to get what's coming to him, but we as God's people have to continue praying. And God gave us the power of prayer for us to use. Now, I want you to look at two verses. Verses 10 and 11, before we get started in the shield of faith and so forth. In Ephesians 6, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, as Paul writes to the believers at Ephesus, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have to remind ourselves that we cannot live or fight this spiritual battle in our own strength. It has to be in the strength of the Lord. Remember, even Jesus Christ himself said to the devil in the book of Matthew, thus saith the Lord, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's in the power of God that you and I will continue to have a spiritual mindset and get spiritual victory and not be led astray, because again, there are many false teachers. Paul talked about false teachers, all right? Not just religious false teachers, but also false teachers in this world that lead people astray in believing a lie, believing something that is not true because it goes with their own thinking. It goes against what is right. Again, life is still precious. I don't care what excuse someone wants to give me why abortion is right. It's still wrong in the eyes of God. And there's not a single Bible-believing, born-again Christian who should agree with it, should agree with abortion because it's taking a life. Now, holding up the shield of faith, all right? So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, verse 10, we got to remind ourselves that we got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11, by putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All right? Standing against the wiles of the devil. Again, verse 12 reminds us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against, obviously, spiritual wickedness. And verse 13 tells us again, take unto you the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand. And God wants us to stand, but we're standing, obviously, in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength. Verse 14 tells us about the breastplate of righteousness. We're supposed to have our loins girded about with truth, always walking in truth. Let truth be your guide, which is the word of God, being the lamp unto our feet, light unto our path, having the breastplate of righteousness on. We want to live uprightly before the Lord. We want to walk in truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be ready to always answer anyone that asks of you that hope that lies within you and not be afraid to tell the truth. Not be afraid to tell somebody, hey, abortion's wrong. It's taking a life. All right, verse 16, above all, This is where I want to be. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. Above all. So Paul pens, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, at this moment, above all, taking the shield of faith. Because if we do not continue in the faith, if we let the faith down, if we let the shield of faith down, we stop believing what's right according to Scripture. We stop believing in God because of what we see happening in society and see what's happening in the world and wonder and start questioning, why doesn't God stop it? Why doesn't God change it? Why does God let bad things happen to good people? If we let down that shield of faith like it happened in the Garden of Eden, both Adam and Eve, they knew what God said, but they both decided that, you know what, the food was good and they both ate it. But above all, taking the shield of faith, your faith and my faith is very important, and we've got to keep the mindset that faith is what pleases God. Somebody once said in regards to faith, as long as the soldier had his shield, he felt secure. And as long as a Christian has faith, he is safe. Because our faith reminds us of the name that we can trust in, the name that we can call upon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Reminds us that the God of the Bible is the God of this universe and the God of this world, and he is the judge that shall do right. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, we're reminded in regards to faith, for by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You and I remember, we know that by faith we were saved. By faith anyone can be saved, putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it is still faith that saves us. Faith reminding us of the goodness, the power of God, and reminds us that even prayer is powerful, and if the devil can get us to put the shield of faith down, we'll stop trusting in prayer, we'll stop trusting in the Word of God, and we'll stop following God. A lot of people have been deceived, and many have walked away because they've laid down the shield of faith that reminds them of who God is. Now, Hebrews, look at Hebrews chapter 11. So the shield of faith reminds us we were saved by faith, reminds us that we're on the winning side, reminds us that our power and strength is in Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 11 and verse 6 reminds us, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, our faith is very important. The only way we're going to continue walking with God is to continue believing by faith that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because what's the purpose of propaganda? The purpose of propaganda is to brainwash people into believing what is being emphasized, what's being promoted. And the Word of God ought to be more promoted in the life of a believer than anything else. It is the Word of God that changes our thinking to God's thinking, to biblical thinking. If we're going to continue in the faith, if we're going to have victory in the spiritual battle, we have to keep the shield of faith up, trusting in the one who's given us our faith, trusting in the one who's given us our victory, trusting in the one who even protects us. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, you look at verse 19 through 21. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, speaking of Abraham. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You know, think about just that segment. You think about the life of Abraham and what this verse, these verses are talking about when Abraham and Sarah were well up in their age, that past childbearing years, they did not have a child. He did not have a son. And yet God promised that he would give Abraham a son. And Isaac was the promised son. And yet I want us to see that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. He believed that God could do whatever God said, and God can. And that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I may not see the outcome. I may not see how this is going to turn around and how this may even turn out for good. But I trust the one who holds my life in his hand. I trust the one who guides my steps every day. And I trust the one who said that if I come to him by faith, that he will reward me. He will answer my prayers. He will give me wisdom. He'll give me direction. He will supply my every need. We cannot allow ourselves to get to the place where we stop having faith in God and in God's word and in the ways of God. We have to guard our hearts and our minds. Again, if the devil can get into our mind and get us to think something that's not true, it will affect our heart, and the outcome will not be good. Again, when you think about Adam and Eve, he didn't force her to eat the fruit. You read the scripture, he simply said, thus saith the Lord. I mean, not thus saith the Lord, but he simply said, yea, hath God said. He got her to think about questioning God's word, that God said, don't eat that fruit. And because she started thinking about it and looking at it and questioning it in her own mind, it affected her heart to where she did not obey God. Same with Adam as well. Our faith is very important, and as a shield of faith, we have to use it. God's given it to us to deflect the fiery darts of the devil, to deflect the wiles of the devil, to remind us, you know what? The devil is still attacking. The devil is still going to do things that are wicked, and we just see that even prevailing in America. But yet, we serve the judge that shall do right. We serve the one who has the final authority, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can keep our faith in the one who we are following. Also notice that he says the helmet of salvation. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation does not speak of the gift of salvation, but again, it speaks of something that protects your head, something that protects your mind. But I want you to think about what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 says. But let us, who are of the day, speaking of those that are saved, those are the children of God, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Again, it speaks of guarding your mind, guarding your thoughts, the hope of salvation. What or who is your hope in? It should be in the blessed hope. And again, when we get to prayer, being one of the pieces of armor, it is an offensive, it's a defensive weapon for us. But praying for the Lord to prevail, even in Texas. I mean, just when I heard this, it's like, man, this is awesome, this is great, you know. All states should pass a law where it's illegal to kill a child. But then right out of the gate, you've got the wickedness trying to suppress it, trying to crush it. And just, again, it just reminded me of the spiritual battle that we're in. And God's people need to continue or get back to praying fervently by faith that God would prevail in these matters that are biblical, these matters that are righteous, and that we would ask the Lord to intervene even in our country. But I want you to notice, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2.
Again, when you think about salvation, you just think about the fact that we have victory. Salvation is our victory. Salvation is our victory.
Ephesians chapter 2,
look at verse 1 and 2.
The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Again, Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus that had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Before we were saved, we were walking in sins and trespasses. We were basically dead men walking. "And you hath he quickened," he's made alive. "You who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We're no longer a part of this world. Though we're still living in this world, yet as we're saying, this world's not our home, because we're not the children of disobedience any longer. We're the children of obedience. We're the children of God, and we ought to follow the ways of God. Our mindset should be different. We should have a biblical mindset right now as the children of God, as the people of God, and that's where the shield of faith comes in, because we cannot just mix worldly philosophy or worldly teachings with Scripture. They do not mix. And we got to have our shield of faith where we deflect the lies of the world. We deflect the lies of society. And we are so, we have the Word of God so ingrained into us, so hidden in our heart, that when something is spoken by a non-believer who has a religious background, but out of his own lips can say that, I'm trying to remember exactly how he said it.
But he basically said that people can have their different opinions. Those that want to believe that life starts at conception, he's fine with that. But as for him, he does not believe that. This is someone who has a religious background, that his religion actually teaches that life begins at birth or at conception. Listen, that's why it's important. And I know that I'm the only one that has kids in here right now, still raising kids, still trying to teach kids the truth. Of course, I know there are kids that are in homes that do not teach biblical truth, kids that have to go to public school where they're not getting biblical truth. They're being indoctrinated with the lies of this world and wickedness, and just accepting homosexuality, accepting critical race theory, accepting, you know, all the wickedness of the world. That's why it's important that we pray. We pray for those kids. We pray for those families. Because God's given us that. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. It starts with prayer. But you know what? We have to be fully armored. We have to believe in the shield of faith. We have to believe in the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have to still believe in prayer. If we want to make a difference in our families, in our homes, in our country, and wherever we're at, we still have to believe in these and keeping a right spiritual mindset. We're here for a reason. But you and I, we have victory in salvation, but we also have our confidence. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. It's been on my mind and my heart a lot lately. If the Lord continues to guide me and lead me in this direction, then very soon we're going to talk about, probably Sunday mornings, probably the place to do it unless the Lord tells me otherwise, but talking about the current events in our world right now and how it lines up with Scripture.
Because we don't want to get to a place as God's people where we kind of put our heads in the sand like an ostrich and just think, well, you know, it doesn't affect me. It does. As God's people, it all affects us. We're on the winning side, but again, there's still those we want to bring to the winning side, those we still want to be reconciled unto God, those that we're still praying for their salvation and hoping they'll put their faith and trust in Christ, but also we want to finish our own race. We want to finish our own race that we've been placed in by God. And again, He's given us the power, the strength through Him to be able to finish our race. But we have to keep relying upon Him, keep believing in Him, keep trusting in Him, keep relying upon Him as well. In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We need to stay sensitive to the voice of God. There are so many devices in this world that are used to desensitize the minds and hearts of people. Hollywood, TVs, movies, music, magazines, all types of devices that are used to desensitize people to the truth and desensitize people to the spiritual battle that rages around them. And the devil, as the Bible says, he's the god of this world that wants to keep the blind blinded. He doesn't want those in darkness to see the light of Christ through God's people. But we still have to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify God, our Father which is in heaven. We still need to walk in the light, walk in the Spirit. We still need to have the confidence. You know what? I hear God's voice speaking to me. I hear God's voice guiding me and directing me. Again, not some mystical thing. Hopefully you have that relationship with God, that you hear the voice of God. You, when God presses upon your heart, you know it's God. When scriptures jump off the page, you know it's God speaking to you. Because it's not religion, it's a relationship. I believe that's where many times people lay down the shield of faith, because they forget it's a relationship. They get into the routine, into the habit of just, okay, going to church, going through the routine, and it gets to a point where it doesn't mean anything because they're allowing everything else in their life and they're not saturating themselves with the Word of God. They're not staying fervent in prayer. They're not allowing themselves to continue to grow in the Lord, and they lose faith. They lose hope. But Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So not only are we in the Lord Jesus Christ's hand, but we're in the Father's hand, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit as well. I want you to think about, go back if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. So I got to move along quickly. So again, use the shield of faith to guard your heart and to guard your mind. And while we are guarding our hearts and our minds with the shield of faith, we need to grab the Word of God. We need to pick up the Word of God. We need to saturate our minds and hearts with the Word of God and hide God's Word in our heart by meditation. Look at what he says in verse number 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can take the Word of God into somebody's heart. You and I talking to somebody, we're praying that they receive what we're saying. We're praying that, you know what, they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the Holy Spirit that takes the Word into the heart. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Look at this. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. If the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, it means it's powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12,
We're reminded just how powerful the Word of God is. For the Word of God is quick, meaning it's alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When I read that, I think about Paul on the road to Damascus. He was so bent on destroying the name of Christ by wiping out all Christians. He was so bent on that. I mean, he was a child of the devil, though he was religious. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a well-to-do guy, very well-educated. He believed in his religion, but he was a child of the devil, destroying the things of God. Yet on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ stopped him dead in his tracks with the shining glory of Jesus Christ, blinded Paul with his glory, but then tells Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He knows what's in Paul's heart. Though Paul thought he was doing God's service, as he even says, yet the Lord knew, no, he wasn't. And on that day, the Word of God, coming from the living Word, pierced Paul's heart. And just in that moment, Paul says, what would you have me to do, Lord? Didn't confess what he was doing was wrong. We didn't have to put a whole laundry list out there. What I'm saying is the Word of God is so powerful, it convicts anybody. Now, some people won't bend to it. Some people won't bow to the truth. Some people just resist it. But the Word of God is quick. We cannot get to a place where we stop believing that God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. Very powerful. I heard of a testimony of a young man that was so hooked on drugs, specifically heroin. A pastor gives this testimony of this man that was so hooked on heroin, he had gotten saved, but his body was going through withdrawals. For 3 months, he would call the pastor every day for encouragement. And the pastor could hear the shaking in his voice. When you meet with him, he was just shaking, his body going through withdrawals because he had been so hooked on heroin. And the pastor helped him by giving him scripture, writing scripture on 3x5 cards, and asked the man, well, what pocket did you have the heroin in that you could get it when you needed it? And he said, well, usually, you know, his inside coat pocket. All right, they wrote some verses out and stuck the 3x5 cards in that pocket, as well as other pockets of his coat that he would wear. So every time he had that, his body was craving and had that urge, he'd just reach in that pocket, pull out scripture, and start reading it. Look, the Word of God is so powerful, it helped the man to get over it. You don't need a psychologist, a psychiatrist. You don't need more drugs to help you. Jesus Christ can cleanse the body he created. And he can help set a mind back in its rightful state. Remember the man possessed with demons, the demoniac of Gadara? When the townspeople came out, they saw him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. They tried controlling him. They tried chaining him. They tried changing him, and they could not. But Jesus Christ did by simply coming into his life. Jesus is the living Word. Go to John, and you look at the fact. Look at John. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If we put down the shield of faith, we will stop believing in the Word of God. We will stop believing that God's Word is quick and powerful, that God's Word can defend us from the devil's attacks. we will stop believing that God's word can change anything. Again, when you look at Scripture, Jesus Christ used the word of God. Scripture tells us lives were changed by the word of God. But if we put down the shield of faith, we'll stop believing in the word of God. There needs to be a remnant of God's people that still believe in the power of God's word. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know by faith people can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If they believe on the name of Jesus Christ, they put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You and I have to continue believing in the power of God's word. And listen, it's okay to remind God of what he said. Because we do it to people all the time. Well, you said, I've had people do that to me. Well, wait, you said, sometimes kids like to do that and we tell kids, be quiet. But people remember. Now, we don't use it against God, but when we're praying, we say, Lord, you promised where two agree that it would be done. And Lord, my wife and I agree, or you and somebody else you're praying with, all right? There's things in Scripture that we can say, Lord, you said if we did this, that you would. Look, God's word's powerful. And God promised that where two or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. There's many things that God promised in his word. The devil's always going to attack God's word. He did it from the very beginning with Eve. Yea, hath God said. But listen, we have to keep the shield of faith up. So we keep believing in the word of God, and that we keep believing in prayer as well. But before I get to prayer, let me read two more verses for you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, we are to live by. It will give us life. And he's given us his word. He's given us a book, Genesis to Revelation. But also in Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Again, we want to stay on the straight and narrow path. We want to continue to have that biblical mindset, that spiritual mindset that helps us to continue believing in the things that are right, believing in God's word, believing in prayer, and believing in faith as well, that faith is still very vital and very important for us today. The next thing, the last thing I want us to think about is verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Somebody once said, restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Because the devil knows even the weakest saint that's struggling with faith, dropping physically to their knees or spiritually, crying out to God, God will hear them. And that's what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want God's people to believe in prayer. He wants God's people to think prayer was back in the Old Testament, back in the first generation of the church, something that's not important today. But prayer is very important. It's very important personally that each of us continue to have that relationship with God, have that open line of communication. That's why there can't be anything between us and our God, no sin whatsoever, because God resists the proud. If there's something in our life that's not right that we're holding on to, and we pray, well, God's not hearing that prayer. And the devil wants to keep that a secret and just cause the person to believe, well, God just, he's not answering your prayer, so stop praying. Because the devil wants to kind of help keep things covered up instead of helping things to be open. And, oh, you know what? That's why God's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds us, points to things in our life. Hey, you know what? God's not listening because the Holy Spirit searches our heart. You know, prayer is very important. I still believe in prayer. Prayer will still continue to be fought against, but we have to pray without ceasing, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body, speaking about praying one for another. We're not the only ones that need prayer, personally, individually, but praying for one another. Again, that's why we need to pray for the state of Texas. You need to pray that the law that was put into place, that the Supreme Court in Texas even passed and it upheld, but yet you have people fighting against it now, that it would remain solid, that God would prevail and God would allow things to be turned around in our country for His glory and for people to turn to Christ. That's really, in a nutshell, is our prayer should always be that hearts should be turned to the Lord. Again, when righteousness starts to prevail, when things start to go right biblically, spiritually, according the way they're supposed to with God, well, the devil's always going to rear his ugly head. That's why prayer needs to continue. Not just when things get bad, but consistently, like Daniel, three times a day. Even as the psalmist tells us, morning and at noon, we should pray. Even Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. And we need to continue praying. So keeping that biblical mindset, number one, we need to keep the faith. We need to guard our hearts and minds from the lies of the world, that if it does not line up with God's word, then we don't need to listen to it or believe it. We've got to allow ourselves to continue walking in the faith, guarding our hearts and minds, using the word of God to defend ourselves, but also to help us to move forward in life while we're praying and asking God for strength and asking God to prevail in certain areas, to give us victory, to help us to grow in faith and help us to be a help and blessing to somebody else while we're praying for Christians around the world. Don't forget to pray for our missionaries. We support 7 families that need our prayer. Not just the financial support. They would tell you in a heartbeat, we need your prayer more than we need your money because of where they serve. I know of missionaries that serve in very dark places, very satanic places. And it's only through the power of prayer that they can prevail in staying there. And that's where God's called them. Again, sometimes, I'm not saying you, but we as Christians as a whole, sometimes we get relaxed in the spiritual battle because we're not maybe facing oppositions at the moment, or we're not really looking at situations in our life as a spiritual battle because, you know, it's a person or it's a situation. But that person, that situation can be used to wear down your faith, to wear down your walk with Christ. And we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be sober and remember that we have an adversary that walketh about, roaring like a lion. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. So not only praying for yourself, but praying for others in the church, family members, loved ones, those that you're trying to witness to and be a help and a blessing to. But let's keep that spiritual mindset. If we keep that spiritual mindset, it will help us to walk in faith and keep the faith. It will help us to continue believing in the Word of God, letting the Word of God be the lamp and light
in our life, and letting prayer be the sword, be that sword that we use, not the word of God, the sword of Spirit, but that sword we use to cut through darkness. You know, the devil wants people to stay blinded. Remember, if we pray for the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, he will make the word of God. He can make the word of God pierce the hearts of anybody.